Whale, this is Dr. Stan back here at Radio Liberty, coming to you from the hills overlooking beautiful and picturesque Monterey Bay and bringing in the news behind the news, the story behind the story, hoping to convince you that reality is usually scoffed at, that illusion is usually king. But in the battle for survival of Western civilization, it's going to be reality, not illusion or delusion, that'll determine what the future will bring. And I need to remind you the views that are expressed here are not necessarily those of the owners, management, staff, sponsors, or supporters of the station you're listening to. They happen to be my views. And, well, for the next hour, they're going to be the views of Cliff Kincaid, who, of course, is a writer, written all sorts of books and articles, and he works for Accuracy and Medias. But he wrote a recent article that appeared on News with Views about something called the Sillett Report. And of course, as we see what's happening in the financial meltdown that's occurring not only throughout America but throughout the world, and we hear that the reason this is happening is because our financial markets have frozen up. There is no money to lend. That's why, of course, it was so important for Henry Paulson to give all that money, the $350 billion, to his friends in the banking industry, because there was just no money to lend. There was no money taking place, and yet... Well, I'm going to let Cliff tell you the rest of the story. Hi, Cliff. Thanks so much for being with us.
Dr. Stan, great to be with you again.
Why don't you just tell us what you were able to uncover, what the report says, and why this puts a lie to everything we've been told by the control media.
Of course, we should have suspected something was fishy when Treasury Secretary Henry Paulson and President Bush tried to raise a panic and stampede Congress into passing this Wall Street bailout package. In the end, as we all know, because of the panic and the cheerleading, not only in Congress but in the media, for the Wall Street bailout, it did eventually pass. We were against it from the beginning. I say we at Accuracy and Media because we've always been in favor of freedom and not socialism. But what we, and we were always suspicious of Paulson because of his ties to Goldman Sachs and Communist China, but we raised questions about the timing of the so-called credit crisis. But lo and behold, a study came along from a Boston-based firm called Celent, C-E-L-E-N-T, very respected financial analysis firm headed by Octavio Morenzi. We found out about this study, and which is usually just given to the firm's clients. We asked for a copy. We got a hold of it. We publicized it, and it finds that everything, almost everything that was said about this so-called credit crisis by Henry Paulson, as well as Federal Reserve Board Chairman Ben Bernanke, was false. There was no general credit crisis at all. The Celent study, using data from the Federal Reserve as well as the Treasury Department and other federal agencies, points out that the credit markets have been functioning fine. Now, there have been some problems for certain big banks on Wall Street and certain firms, but there has been no general credit crisis. And so when we got a hold of this very well-documented study, 30 pages, filled with charts and graphs, we, of course, did a story about it and have been trying to set the record straight about why we've gotten into this mess and who's behind it.
All right, and I think it's really so fascinating. You know, I was able, after, of course, you had done the basic work on that, to get to Celent and get a copy of the report, and everything you said is true, which is, of course, flies in the face of everything we've been controlled by the major media, which, of course, we know is unreliable. But, you know, the incredible thing is that Congress voted $700 billion, and actually they put out somewhere between $7 and $8 trillion here in the last relatively few months for a non-existent crisis. We'll be right back. Well, this is Dr. Stan here at Radio Liberty. Our guest this afternoon is Cliff Kincaid, and Cliff is a writer. He writes for Accuracy and Medium, and I know through the years he's been very accurate on many things. And Cliff was just saying that, you know, certainly there was something very strange. It was obviously strange when we were told by the Secretary of the Treasury and by Ben Bernanke, of course, the chairman of the Federal Reserve Board, that we were in a terrible crisis, that we had to give all sorts of money, to Henry Paulson so we could bail out the housing market and stop people from losing their homes. After all, so many people lost their homes and obviously were having some sort of a problem. But they kept saying the major problem, of course, initially was the housing collapse until they got their hands on the money. And then we find out his name was Congressman Barney Frank, forgot to stipulate that they had to give the money for the housing crisis. So Henry Paulson gave the money to his friends. What has happened, however, is that our guest today, Cliff Kincaid, had gotten a hold of a report from the Celent Company. And the Celent basically analyzes, they are a research firm, and they prepare extensive reports for major corporations to let them know what's really going on. And the Celent report said that everything that Henry Paulson and that Ben Bernanke were saying just wasn't true. There was no lending crisis. There was plenty of money was being lent. Now, there were certain firms that couldn't get any money. They seemed to be, I've always felt they were the people, that the people in positions of power didn't want to get money, but they were the ones that went down. But there was no shortage of lending. In fact, lending was actually up during the period where Henry Paulson was telling us that there was no money available. Is that pretty much, what it said, Cliff?
No question about it. Almost everything we've been told about the so-called credit crunch was false. According to the data supplied by the Treasury Department, the Federal Reserve, and other agencies.
And, of course, there's a wonderful article. You can read it up on News with Views. It's written by our guest, Cliff Kincaid, that gives you a very detailed analysis of what the Celent report said. And these are people who have no axe to grind on either side. They just took all the figures that were available, readily available, from the Federal Reserve and from the U.S. Treasury. But who among us has either the time to go over them or would understand what all these figures mean? But these people do. They're economists. And we've been lied to. We've been conned. And so far, the government's put out somewhere between, 7.5 and 8.5, some people even say as much as $9 trillion just this past year. And, of course, in the process, they are destroying the value of our currency. We'll be right back. Well, this is Dr. Stan. Our guest is Cliff Kincaid. So, Cliff, after you put that information out, what sort of response did you get?
We have faced a virtual blackout in the major media for obvious reasons. Most of the media commentators and talking heads and pundits, including those in the so-called conservative media like Fox News, were cheerleaders for this Wall Street bailout. And now they all look foolish. They all have egg all over their face, and they don't want to admit they were wrong, they were conned, they were had. But we're going to continue to get the message out. This story is going to be told. We fortunately have a number of members of the Congress, the House, and the Senate who voted against this thing, who want to see the truth prevail. I might add that in the end, of course, Dr. Stan, a majority of House Republicans voted against the Wall Street bailout because they didn't trust Paulson, they didn't trust Bernanke, and they objected to the bailout on principle that the federal government had no reason to intervene in the economy this way. And as you point out, the cost is astronomical. It threatens not only the destruction of the U.S. currency, the dollar, but as the Celent study itself mentions at the very end, the possibility, the risk of Weimar Republic-style hyperinflation once this whole crisis works itself out in the economy.
And, of course, what they're doing is just creating all sorts of massive new amounts of money. And then, of course, on top of that, they create the credit because they can lend out, 8 or 9 times, sometimes Well, the investment banks were lending out 40 times the reserves. Regular banks can't do that. They are held 8 or 9 times the reserves. But basically they have lots of money out there, but they're very selective in where they're putting it. And what's really so interesting is they've cut off the small business loans for small folks. You know, $25,000 to $25,000, they just pretty well shut off those loans. They're doing everything they can to facilitate and produce this crisis. They're not helping the people, of course, who lost their homes, or the millions more who are going to lose their homes because of the pick and pay mortgages or the liar's loans, or even, you know, as more and more people lose their loans, a lot their jobs, a lot of the people with prime loans are going to go down. And the cascade of home price failures is going to increase. And Henry Paulson got $700 billion appropriated to take care of it and steadfastly refused to try to stop the crisis. Why would he do that, Cliff? That doesn't make any sense. You would think he'd want to try to stop the crisis, or would he?
Well, there's, of course, two theories to explain all of this. One is the stupidity theory of history, that these people, Bernanke and Paulson, even though they're smart and supposedly members of the global elite, that they just didn't know what they were doing. Now, there's some evidence to support that. I mean, based on the fact that after the $700 billion Wall Street bailout was passed, of course, the whole focus of the program changed. Paulson said he would no longer try to use some of the money to buy up so-called troubled assets of these major financial institutions, but instead would use the government money to purchase shares in these same institutions. The so-called TARP, the Troubled Asset Relief Program, became the CPP, the Capital Financial Bailout of the banks, purchasing direct shares in the banks. And some people look at that and say, well, Paulson just doesn't know what he's doing. But the other theory, which I happen to favor and which I've written about, is that this was a premeditated crisis designed to destroy the economy of the United States and usher in Barack Obama as president. He has been a beneficiary of a lot of money from Wall Street and especially Goldman Sachs, and now, of course, he's prepared to take over as president and complete the transfer of the economy into a full-blown socialist state. And I think this is what certain Wall Street interests have wanted all along, and they're going to get there unless the people rise up and very strongly object, because we're on the path to the national bankruptcy.
But, of course, Cliff, why would any capitalist and big bankers want socialism? Isn't socialism redistribution of their wealth?
Not really. I mean, they have at least lost some money, some of them, short-term, because their greed got the better of them. But remember, you've got to understand who these people are. Somebody like a Henry Paulson is very close to communist China. He's traveled there over 70 times. When he was hired by the Bush administration as Treasury Secretary, he immediately started a U.S.-China strategic cooperation and communication initiative. He himself personally benefited from an investment deal in communist China. His former firm, Goldman Sachs, exclusively represents China in certain financial matters. These are not people who have the best interests of the United States at heart. And they would just rather see China emerge in this so-called New World Order of theirs as the predominant player, with really the capacity, the capability to blackmail the United States. We are being reduced, it seems to me, Dr. Stan, to the status of a banana republic, and we don't even produce or export bananas.
And, of course, that's a good point. Well, you know, what most Americans don't understand is we are totally dependent upon China and Japan and the oil-producing countries to buy up our debt. We are the biggest debtor nation the world has ever seen. It's taking about $2.5 billion or more every single day just to pay our bills. And if China were ever to start, selling their treasury bills, it would topple our economy, and you would see firms all across America just closing down. The whole financial system of our nation would crumble, because, of course, we have no means of even protecting us as far as tariffs or anything of that sort to protect our industry, whereas China would simply slap on controls, they would survive, and we would go right down the tubes economically, and there'd be riots in our streets, and people don't understand why would rational people have put us into a position where we're totally dependent upon totally corrupt nations throughout the world to maintain our financial system. And that really doesn't make sense, Cliff. Why would we do something like that?
Well, it doesn't make sense on the surface, but I know you understand what's going on here. And I know you interviewed in the past Anthony Sutton, who wrote some great books about the operations on Wall Street. He wrote a famous book, Wall Street and the Bolshevik Revolution, Wall Street and the Rise of Hitler. The truth is that Wall Street has been willing to put its resources behind some of the worst movements and governments in human history. And I think now the resources are being deployed on behalf of China.
And as incredible as it seems, I'm totally in agreement with our guest today. And if you go into the background, I mean, why would Bill Clinton have transferred so much of our nuclear technology and missile technology to communist China? Well, they said, well, they put up $100,000 campaign contributions. If anybody believes that, they've got to be incredibly foolish. I mean, if he did that, he should have been tried for treason, but he's not. Of course, in his wife is going to be the next Secretary of State. Why would we want to have another Clinton, in a key position in government when Bill Clinton had transferred so much of our technology to our enemy nations? And so much of it really doesn't make sense unless there's another agenda out there. And this is, of course, what we're trying to get people to look and see what's happening and say, ask the question, why? And I know you ask that all the time, as I do as well, Cliff. And I think we would agree on the answer, although it's very hard for rational people to look and see what's going on, because rational people wouldn't be doing what they're doing. But the trouble is, we're not dealing with rational people. We're dealing with people who are very smart, like Henry Paulson and Ben Bernanke. But they have a different worldview, in my estimation, because they have a different world, a different goal for our nation. Their loyalty is not to America, but to this internationalist dream. Well, what sort of, you said, did you get any response at all from the controlled media?
Not really. I mean, the story has been picked up here and there. We are going to continue to publicize it. And we hope that there will be members of Congress who will continue to pursue this. There are some proposals for oversight as to where the money has gone. There's a legislative proposal by Congressman Darrell Issa to have a commission investigating who caused this crisis and why. I don't anticipate that's going to actually pass the Congress. There is an official Congressional Oversight Board, which has at least one member, Congressman Jeb Hensarling of Texas, a good conservative who's raising some of the right questions. But look, it's an uphill struggle. We're going to have to fight hard. But we do know this, that most people out there, people losing their homes, losing the value of their pension funds, their retirement funds, who are losing their jobs, are starting to think, what has happened to our country? What is actually going on here? And when we can point to scholarly academic studies like that of Salent saying that this whole thing was manufactured, this is not just our opinion. This study, 30 pages long, is based on charts and graphs. It's not my opinion. It's not my speculation. This is from somebody inside the industry who has analyzed it. Then maybe we can get the attention of more and more of the American people and start belatedly to hold these politicians accountable for what they did to us.
And let me suggest you go up on newsofviews.com. That's newsofviews.com. And, of course, scroll down to the left to Cliff Kincaid. Pull the article up and read it and reread it and copy it and help us get it out. If you have a question for Cliff, our telephone number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY, 1-888-24-LIBERTY, or 464-8295. That's 1-888-24-LIBERTY. 1-888-24-LIBERTY, 1-888-24-LIBERTY, 464-8295. We'll be back in just a moment with Cliff Kincaid to talk about what's going on from an economic point of view. Well, Cliff, certainly, you know, a great tragedy. I mean, so many people are losing their cars, their automotive, sales stores, sale lots are closing down. We've lost a couple here in the Monterey Bay area and closing down all across the country. People are losing their jobs. Certainly here in California, we're having terrible economic problems. How about where you are? You know, what about your state government and other governments? I understand many state governments are really facing almost the point where the kids keeps up for another couple of years, they'll be facing bankruptcy.
Well, all state governments will be facing problems. Now, I happen to be here in the state of Maryland, just outside of D.C., and to some extent, the D.C. area is protected from what affects the rest of the country simply because there are so many government jobs in the area, including military, and the fact that there are so many trade associations and lobbies based in the immediate surrounding area. And that's why it's important that the American people make their views known, pass around, distribute articles like mine, go to places like AIM.org, where we have been covering this problem for many months now, and tell those, I refer to them as fake conservatives, those people in Fox News especially, like a Fred Barnes or a Bill Kristol or Charles Krauthammer, those who were cheerleaders for this Wall Street bailout, that they should face the facts and admit they were wrong, and start belatedly focusing some critical attention on what these people on Wall Street have done to us and what the people in Washington have permitted them to do. And I think eventually we have to demand prosecutions of these people. These are crooks. They are greedy, selfish people who have not only tried to exploit the situation for their own benefit, but, of course, as we talked about earlier, they are destroying the sovereignty of our nation. They are destroying the country itself. They are destroying our currency and making us vulnerable to the machinations of a country like communist China. This is obviously unacceptable, and we've got to get angry about it.
Well, you know, Cliff, it's really very interesting when you tell people that there's going to be inflation, they point out that, look, the price of oil is falling, the price of houses is falling, the price of automobiles is falling, and all of those things are true. In fact, the price of commodities has fallen. But, of course, inflation is not rising prices. It's increasing the amount of money, money and credit that's out there. And, of course, you know, basically they've increased the amount of money, they've increased the amount of credit, and it's only a matter of time down the line when the rising prices will follow the increase in the amount of money. But people really don't understand. Inflation is not rising prices. Rising prices are a result of increasing the money supply. You increase the money supply, and sooner or later inflation is going to, I should say, higher prices are going to follow. Would you agree with that?
That's what the experts say that I trust. And look, I don't pretend to come on this show and be an expert on economics or financial matters. I'm a journalist, and I like to joke to people I'm a jack of all trades, master of none, based on the fact that I have to cover all these different issues. But one thing I do know, Dr. Stan, is I know where to go for information. I've learned that in more than 30 years in Washington, D.C. That's why I found the Salent study. That's why I wrote a story about that.
Hold that thought. We'll be back in just a moment. Well, this is Dr. Stan. I guess, of course, it's Cliff Kincaid from Accuracy in Media. And if you have a question for Cliff, he's right on the front lines right back there in Washington, D.C. He lives in Maryland, which is not far from Washington. So he certainly can get back and forth and get the information from key people. And he did a wonderful job getting the Salet study out. And you certainly want to read his article on that. It's posted at newswithviews.com. Our telephone number, of course, is 1-888-24-LIBERTY, 1-888-24-LIBERTY, or 464-8295. And what you have to really understand is that you're not going to get the truth from the regular sources of information. This is why you need alternative radio, why, of course, we know that they're going to do everything they can down the line to shut down alternative radio. They don't want you to get the truth. They do not want you to get the information off the Internet. They do not want you to know anything other than what the controlled media tells you, and both sides of the media. I mean, we have the so-called conservative and the liberal, and believe me, it's all controlled by the same people. There's only a few independent sources out there, a few independent writers and journalists, and certainly our guest today, Cliff Kincaid is one of them. We've got Al Duncan calling from Northern California. Hi, Al. How you doing? Let's see if we can get Al up here. Yep, we got him. Hi, Al. How you doing?
I'm fine. How are you?
Doing fine. Do you have a question?
I do. I have a question for Mr. Kincaid.
Yes.
I can see where this whole thing was contrived all the way back with Alan Greenspan, and I could see eventually it had to collapse in the same manner that it is doing today. However, my question is, with the information you have, what exactly does it show that would indicate that everything was false as opposed to a crash coming? And I'll take it off the air or off the phone.
Basically, you have to read the entire article, and certainly I quote extensively from the study to have all of that data. In effect, there was no general credit crisis. All of the data show that. Now, there may have been a few big banks that were having trouble raising funds, and because they had been mismanaged, they put a lot of money into these mortgages. But the bottom line becomes that Paulson conceived of this plan, this bailout, really to bail out his friends, and also, by the way, to bail out foreign banks, especially those in China, because China had held about $376 billion worth of Freddie and Fannie securities. But what we have to keep in mind is that, of course, what's happening to the economy is very real. Everything that is happening in terms of losing the value of our pensions, our IRAs, the loss of jobs, all of this is real. We are in a recession that may go into a depression. But the point is that we have to hold those responsible who panicked the Congress into passing this money that has now ballooned, as Dr. Stan says, to over or about $8 trillion, with a T, $8 trillion. And at this late date, my belief is we have to stop the incoming Obama administration from using some of the same spending and debt maneuvers that got us into this problem in the first place. And by that I mean try to stop their so-called stimulus package of apparently what's being proposed is another $1 trillion of spending. So, again, what I was trying to say earlier before the break is that I'm not the expert. I'm just pointing to good sources of information like the Salent study. Another person I would suggest you go to is is Peter Schiff of Euro-Pacific Capital, Europac.net. And the reason I cite him is that when I started analyzing the coverage of this crisis, I was amazed that, of course, the media would not give credit where credit was due. And Peter Schiff is somebody who had predicted this whole problem. Now, of course, nobody knew that it would occur just 6 weeks before the election, just thus guaranteeing Obama's election. But Peter Schiff is a guy to go to for specific advice about how we got here and what it's going to take to get us out of it.
And certainly he does an excellent job. We've had Peter on, and certainly we recommend that website. One more time, what's that website, Cliff?
His website is europac.net for Euro-Pacific Capital.
Either that or simply Google in Peter Schiff, a very intelligent approach to what's going on. We're going to be back here in just a moment with our special guest, Cliff Kincaid. Or if you'd like to talk to Cliff, our telephone number 1-888-24-LIBERTY. That's 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. And we'll get to Bob from Santa Cruz and David from New York in just a moment. Well, this is Dr. Stan here. Let's go to Bob, who's calling from Santa Cruz. Hi, Bob. How are you doing?
Not too bad.
All right, fine. Do you have a question for our guest?
Yes, I was wondering if you've seen today's Wall Street Journal on the front page, an article by Igor Panarin.
Is this the Russian who predicts the breakup, the collapse of the U.S.?
Right. And he predicts it'll break up into six regions. Due to economic and moral decline, it will happen by 2010. I was just, he's been predicting that, I guess, for several years now, but I guess it's getting more and more attention because of the economic situation in the country.
All right. Do you have a thought on that, Cliff?
I don't know what's going to happen. I'm certainly not a prophet, but I do know America is in trouble. And we're in trouble because what we've been talking about for the last half hour. And it's going to be tough to get out of this problem. Again, I suggest people go to the experts, people like Peter Schiff, who have advocated a way out of the crisis. We certainly cannot solve this problem by doing more of what got us into this mess to begin with, and that is sacrificing our sovereignty, spending more money and going further into debt as a nation. Because I've come to believe, based on my writing and reporting and analysis, that it is not beyond the realm of possibility. I don't know about a breakup or collapse of the United States per se, but there is one European bulletin and a well-regarded financial newsletter that is predicting a national default on our debts sometime next year, possibly by summer. It's not beyond the realm of possibility that we could go the route of Iceland, which went bankrupt this year. A whole country, if you can believe it, went bankrupt and is now forced to survive economically on loans provided from the International Monetary Fund. I've often thought, well, if we go bankrupt or if we face bankruptcy, who's going to bail us out? Well, it could be that what they have planned for us is for the United States to get into such a weakened position, not only that China will dominate the world economically and financially, but the United States could be forced eventually to go to an international agency like the International Monetary Fund for financial assistance just so we could survive.
Does that answer your question at all, Bob?
Yes. It was because it seems to be saying what you've been saying for a long time about the globalists trying to engineer things to weaken our sovereignty.
Hold that thought for just a minute here. Well, this is Dr. Stan. We have, of course, Bob, who's been calling from Santa Cruz, California. He's commenting that there's an article on the front page of the Wall Street Journal today talking about, of course, America simply breaking up into a number of different units, the whole structure of our society beginning to break down. I would question why the Wall Street Journal would print something like that. Unless, of course, they're trying to plant these ideas of fear and uncertainty in the minds of the people. We're in real trouble, there's no question. And if you listen to me regularly, Bob, you know that I keep saying we may very well face the destruction of life as we know it. But the fact that the Wall Street Journal, which is not our friend, is not conservative, would be printing this, we have to ask, what ideas are they planting in our minds? I think that's the big question to ask, not what they say, but why they said it. Anything else, Bob, before we let you go?
No, that'll do it. Thank you.
God bless. And thanks so much for calling. And we'll go to our guest. He's calling from New York. David is calling from New York here. All right, fine. We've got David calling from New York. But before we go to David, Cliff, would you like to get a website out or any information about how people can get your material?
Well, I appreciate that. There's actually two websites, actually three. One, of course, is AIM.org. I am the editor of Accuracy in Media, known by the acronym AIM. That's aim.org. Plus, I run a pro-sovereignty group called America's Survival. It's usasurvival.org, usasurvival.org. And I started a website a couple years ago called stopglobaltaxes.org. And I should just perhaps remind the people again that I come at this whole thing as a journalist. And I'm not a prophet. I'm not some financial expert like Peter Schiff, but as a journalist myself, back in 1995, I wrote a book called The UN Plan to Rule the World, Global Bondage. And then 2 years after that, I wrote a book called, this was 1997, Global Taxes for World Government. I think that is the ultimate objective here.
I think you're absolutely right. And let's see if we carried those for many years. I guess they're, are they out of print now?
Yeah, I think they are. I'm gonna try to get at least the Global Taxes book back up on the web somehow.
All right, fine. In fact, I think that we have some of our 4 tape sets, but I wouldn't be at all surprised if we still didn't have a few copies of your one of those books here. Yeah, Global Tyranny, Step by Step. No, that's not yours. Okay. Global Bondage by Cliff Kincaid. We actually have some copies of that. It's not that expensive. It's an excellent book. So if you'd like to get Cliff's book, Global Bondage, our telephone number, 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. The number to call is 1-800-544-8927. 1-800-544-8927. If you'd like, of course, to talk to Cliff, our telephone number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY, 1-888-24-LIBERTY, or 464-8295. Let's go to David, who's waiting patiently on the line from New York. Hi, David. What part of New York are you calling from?
Hi, Dr. Stan and Cliff. I'm from Putnam Valley. Well, originally I'm actually from the town of Cortland.
All right, fine. Well, I mean, what are you listening to, us on shortwave internet or radio station up there?
Yes, on the internet.
Okay, very good. Do you have a question or comment for our guest?
Well, I do have a comment. First of all, I will have to say that I tell you, between all the information that you get from the media, and then I flip on and I listen to you guys, I'm like, wow. I mean, there is so much stuff going on, and there's such a fine line between what reality is and what isn't real, and it's fear-based kind of stuff. And I know you guys are just trying to let people know what's going on, but boy, I tell you, it takes a little building up to get to this, to be able to listen to it, digest it and interpret it in a way that's not going to really affect us too negatively anyway.
Well, I think Cliff would not be doing what he's doing, nor would I be doing what I'm doing if it weren't true, because I'm not getting a salary for what I do. I do this because I'm trying to warn people out there what's going on and get them to prepare for the difficult times, and hopefully I bring them into a closer relationship with the Lord. That's what it's really about. Anyway, did you have a question or comment?
Well, yes, I did, and that was very, very good the way you put that. Thank you for that. Yes, I just wanted to share with both of you, if you want to take down this information, it's just a book that I came across that I think is an absolute wonderful book to be able to at least have incorporated into your life if you're open-minded. It's called Unveiled Mysteries, and you can also get it if you're there in and you said you're in Washington, Mr. Kincaid. If you can get to the Library of Congress, I believe that it's there also. But it's called Unveiled Mysteries, and I think the pen name is Godfrey Ray King, is the author.
All right, fine. What's it about, David?
It's kind of on a spiritual note. It's kind of on a and patriotic, to let us know that there's actually more, and you believe in God and his powers are more powerful than anything out there, but how there's so many things going on that we don't really see that's protecting America and the world from certain things like what seems to be, right on our doorstep.
Okay, well, David, thank you so very much. Appreciate your call, and please keep listening and get those other people there in New York listening, okay?
Thank you very much,
God
sir.
God bless. And our telephone number again is 1-888-24-LIBERTY, 1-888-24-LIBERTY, or 464-8295 if you have a question or comment for our guest, Cliff Kincaid. We've been talking about something called the Salent Report. And really, it is an incredible report. It's about 30 pages long, and it really first is put out by people who've gone over all the documents there that came from the Fed and from the U.S. Treasury. The information which is readily available, but none of us have the time to go over it. But they did an excellent job, and they were looking at the time when, before, of course, we had to give the $700 billion to Henry Paulson so that he could bail out the housing market. And once he got on the, you know, once he really, of course, got his hands on the money, he changed his mind. Now, the question is, why didn't the Congress stipulate when they gave him the $700 billion it was going to be used to bail out the housing market? And, of course, the bill was written by one of Henry Paulson's friends, a fellow member of the Council on Foreign Relations named Congressman Barney Frank. And Congressman Barney Frank just said, well, you know, you can't make people do things, so I didn't bother to put that in. And then the amazing thing is when Henry Paulson gave the money, he gave about $125 billion initially to his friends on Wall Street, you know, so that they would begin lending. But they didn't lend the money out. I mean, they kept it for their bonuses and for dividends and to buy up. I think the Bank of America bought up a bank in China and Country Group, Citigroup actually, bought up a $10 billion worth of roads over there in Spain. But Henry Paulson just forgot to tell these banks that are getting all this money they were supposed to lend it out. How could he be that foolish? And how could Barney Frank be that foolish? He didn't tell Henry what he had to do, and Henry didn't tell the banks what they were supposed to do, and they're not doing anything to try to stop the meltdown. That just doesn't make any sense, Cliff.
Well, that's right. There are, though, those in Congress who are raising alarms. Another question you've asked, which I think should be returned to, is, of course, why are the media ignoring the evidence in the Salent study about this being a manufactured crisis? And I would submit, as a media analyst, this is one thing I am an expert at, that a lot of the media we see and hear and read are compromised. CNBC is a business cable channel that is owned by GE. And it turns out a subsidiary of GE, GE Capital, has been the beneficiary of some of the bailout money. You mentioned earlier Citigroup. One of the significant investors in Citigroup is a Saudi prince by the name of Al-Waleed. And Al-Waleed is also an investor in News Corporation, which is the parent of Fox News and the Wall Street Journal. He also invests, by the way, in Time Warner, the parent of CNN and Time Magazine, as well as Disney, the parent of ABC News. Well, you get the picture. You've got people involved in these media companies who are reluctant to tell the truth about what's happening because they are employed by companies that are benefiting from the taxpayer bailout money.
In fact, is that the fellow that Sheikh there that from Saudi Arabia who bought up a lot of the country, the Citigroup stock? Remember, it plunged; it went down 90% or something. You know, I forgot how low it went, but you know, he must have known that, of course, the government was going to intervene because he bought the stock and he made almost $1 billion in about a day. That's pretty good. It's wonderful to have friends in Wall Street. Pardon me, and to kind of tell you what's going to happen.
I think so. And you know, why should American tax dollars be used to bail out a wealthy Saudi prince? He's been called the Warren Buffett of the Gulf, a guy who's been worth at $1.26 billion. He lives in a $100 million mansion with who knows, I understand, dozens of rooms in Saudi Arabia. I mean, but that plus the Chinese banks, these are some of the beneficiaries of the taxpayer bailouts. And it's difficult to get this information through because so many of these media organizations are compromised by their own international connections.
And I think it was fascinating. Shortly after Bank of America got their $15 billion from Henry Paulson, who's a good friend of Communist China. Bank of America turns around, and with that money that was given to lend to America to, you know, get our markets working, what do? They transfer the money to a Communist Chinese bank, and they buy a part of the Chinese Communist Bank, which is, sends our money, more of our money, over to China, which is the last thing we really want to be doing at this stage. But then maybe we'll get it back. Maybe they'll buy up some more of our debt, because if they stop buying our debt, why, the game is over here in the United States, and America simply is another bankrupt nation with no bananas, as you said so well. I like that line.
And I think you're exactly right. That's where it's all going. See, the hope of these people on Wall Street is that the Chinese communists are going to continue to buy up these U.S. securities. They're going to continue to invest in the United States. But what if they decide not to? What if they decide to spend their money at home? What if they decide to sell their dollars, as you talked about earlier? Where do we go then? Well, you know, we're going hat in hand back to the Chinese communists and the rich Arabs. But what if they decide, well, America doesn't look like a good investment vehicle. It doesn't look like a good risk. What do we do then? And then, of course, that's where I suggest that we may eventually have to go to a place like the IMF for a loan.
Well, it really was so interesting. Of course, everybody, you know, the really knowledgeable people are saying, look, what you want to do is get into T-bills. You put your money in T-bills, and of course, they've really done fairly well, because all the other currencies have been doing so well that the dollar has, of course, been, other currencies have been doing so poorly that the dollar has been doing well. And of course, that's then people are coming in here, the interest rates on T-bills are falling, but the value of the T-bills is going up. And, of course, they've already done very, very well. I would not suggest people continue doing that, because one of these days, well, there's going to be some real problems with our T-bills. But right now, you know, they've done very well. People are just desperate to find some place to put their funds.
Yes. And, of course, it's a difficult situation. I'm no financial expert, as I said earlier. You have to go to somebody like a Peter Schiff for that kind of advice. But clearly, those who got stuck in the market, who have lost 40 to 50%, are in a difficult position. It's just a tragedy what's happening to so many millions of Americans these days.
It was rather interesting in reading an article over the weekend where a lot of the, say, pension funds and university endowments, you know, Harvard has a lot of money, and they've lost about 30% of their investments, as has Yale, as so many of the major pension funds and endowments have lost about between 30 and 50%. Of their investments, but many of them are going to keep their hedge funds. Why? The hedge funds are losing money. Well, but they're not losing as much money as, you know, the stock market is. They lost 50% in the stock market, and the hedge funds are only down 8%. So they're going to stay in the hedge funds because they're doing better than the stock market. And when you see that, you realize there were real problems. And the average individual, I think, really doesn't know where to turn. And I think that this is intentional. They don't want them to know where to turn. I think there's a tremendous element of fear going across America. What are your thoughts? You certainly come from a different part of the country, but you talk to a lot of different people. Do you feel a lot of fear and uncertainty in the parts of the American people?
Well, that's obviously true, but we have to guard against channeling that fear and uncertainty into thinking that somehow the federal government is going to save us. And this is why we have to keep an eye on what Obama is planning in terms of this additional so-called fiscal stimulus, and why we have to guard against increasing the power and size of the federal government, supposedly to rescue the economy. Because the bottom line is, we've all been hearing about the Bernard Madoff scandal, the $50 billion heist and scam and Ponzi scheme and so forth, but as Peter Schiff and others have been saying, the federal government makes Madoff look like a piker, because the federal government can't even balance its own books. As I pointed out in one of my recent articles, the federal government cannot pass an audit. They can't audit and pass their own federal agencies in terms of finding out where the money's going. And yet, they want to spend more of our money to solve the problem. You know, even comedian Jay Leno recently joked about Congress, quizzing and grilling the auto industry executives over their financial problems when the U.S. government is facing unfunded liabilities of $50 trillion in terms of how they're going to pay for Social Security, Medicare, and so forth and so on. So as we try to struggle through this crisis, let's don't make the additional mistake of thinking somehow that the politicians in Washington led by Barack Obama are going to save us.
And I think the important thing is that people begin to realize that, you know, it may very well be when they get ready for retirement, or if they're already retired, but down the line you continue living, why Social Security is certainly going to change. They don't have the money. There's no way they can actually, pay out what they are supposed to. In fact, this year was very interesting. When I got my recent statement from Social Security, because it was supposed to go up 5% this year, but they decided last year that I made too much money. Now, I didn't make very much money last year, but they said I made too much money, so they were going to cut back on my payment, and they were actually going to reduce my wife's payment, who's also on Social Security. And this is what's going to happen. They're going to come up with new plans. They talk about nationalizing the 401k IRA and pension funds. They've got to get their hands on money. They've been stealing the money from the Social Security fund and from the Medicare fund and from the highway fund. I mean, why do we have a crumbling infrastructure? All the money from the taxes, on gasoline, supposed to keep up the highways and the bridges, but they've stolen it all. They've, of course, given it for the perks in the individual congressional districts so the congressmen could get elected. But, of course, what about our infrastructure? And it's simply falling apart all across America. And nobody wants to say they've stolen the money, because, after all, that put them in jail with Madoff. Well, Cliff, we've got 3 minutes for you to wrap up the program, and then I'll let you go.
Well, I appreciate the opportunity, and again, all I can do is provide information, and thankfully we have outlets like your program, Dr. Stan, to get this out to the American people. And it may strike some as rather fantastic, some of the things we've been talking about, because they don't hear this kind of information in the day-to-day media. It is a shocker. But I'll tell you, as somebody who's been a journalist and a researcher for over 30 years, I am associated with accuracy in media. I verify my information. The Salent study finding that there's no credible basis to the charges of a general credit crisis are beyond reproach. The Salent study is based on the work of a firm in Boston, which is on the inside of the financial services industry, and they have the data. And so now we have to take this information and make sure we hold these people accountable, like Paulson, like Bernanke. We've got a government, really, that is acting in a lawless fashion that is really beyond control in some respects. But ultimately, we have to work through those members of Congress who want to get control, who want to exercise oversight, who believe in accountability, and we have to stop this incoming Obama administration from completing the transfer of our economy into a full-blown socialist system. There's a lot of danger that lies ahead, as bad as it's been, in terms of losing jobs and retirement accounts and pensions and all the rest. It could get far worse because, as I said earlier, the nation is facing national bankruptcy. We are entering a transition phase, I believe, into a global socialist a structure. As some people call it, a new world order. It doesn't matter what you call it, what the semantics are. We're losing our sovereignty. We're losing our country. And that's why we have to fight for the freedom we still have left. They haven't beaten us yet. There's a lot of things Obama still wants to do to complete this process. He wants to spend the stimulus money. He wants to pass all kinds of UN treaties. He wants to increase the power and authority of the UN. A lot of this I'm writing about at usasurvival.org. Please go there for regular updates. I'm just trying to get out the information, but of course, unless we act on it, we're cooked.
Anyway, God bless you. Thanks very much for being with us. Cliff. Our guest has been Cliff Kincaid. Bye-bye. God bless. Well, this is Dr. Stan. We do hope that you enjoyed our interview with Cliff Kincaid, a good friend, and certainly we've known Cliff for many, many years. He is reliable. His information is excellent, and Accuracy in Media is doing a good job. They're featuring his writing on a regular basis, and we do subscribe to Accuracy in Media as well. Well, certainly we want to talk a little bit about some of the books by Professor Sutton, Anthony Sutton. We do have an interview with him on DVD. It's called The Best Enemies Money Could Buy. We've been funding communism both in China and in Russia for many years, but we can't let the American people know that. Why? Because we have to have a tremendous military force, you know, to counter the wicked communists who we've been funding. If you haven't read the little pamphlet we put out called The Communist Capitalist Alliance, it's only $3.95 plus shipping, but so important. But we do hope that you want to get the book. The Wall Street and the Rise of Hitler, which was certainly, pardon me, Wall Street and the Rise of, and the Bolshevik Revolution, Wall Street and the Bolshevik Revolution by Professor Sutton. Oh, it goes into how we finance communism since its inception. And then, of course, the book Wall Street and the Rise of Hitler. I mean, how do you think that Hitler was able to come to power in 1933 and, you know, within 5 years began to challenge all of Europe? And, of course, it was because we were funding him and doing everything we could to build him up. And, of course, that's what Wall Street and the Rise of Hitler is all about. And basically, all during the war, wife, General Motors and Ford and International Telephone and Telegraph and certainly almost 100 other American corporations were working in Germany were providing the war materials for Adolf Hitler. And if anybody would like to see a copy of the letter I found in Colonel House's papers from Ambassador Dodd to Colonel House, written in 1936, saying, why are all these American corporations building up the German war machine? Nobody wants a war over here. Do the stockholders back at home know that there's no money to be made because of exchange controls? Why are American corporations providing the war-making materials for Germany? And, of course, when you understand they wanted a war, why did they want a war? Because they wanted a world government. Now, only out of the horror of that war did they think they'd be able to get a world government. Well, they got the United Nations, but they didn't get the world government. That's why they're planning on another world war. And that's what this conflict between Pakistan and India, I think, is a prelude to it. This is why we have actually transferred nuclear technology to Pakistan. That's why you need to read my January letter, January 2008 newsletter. Read it about how we have been transferring technology, nuclear technology, to Pakistan. We can't let the American people know that because you're supposed to think we're trying to prevent the spread of it. But, of course, there's a great deal of difficulty between what's the reality and the illusion that they create through the controlled media. We would like to get, of course, the books by Professor Sutton. We carry about five of them, Wall Street and the Bolshevik Revolution, Wall Street and the Rise of Hitler, The Best Enemies Money Could Buy, Gold for Investment, and Gold for Survival. They're all available by calling 1-800-544-8927. 1-800-544-8927. My interview, a DVD with Professor Sutton, is also available. 1-800-544-8927. It's called The Best Enemies Money Could Buy. And then if you want to know how we have financed communism even during the Vietnam War, we had to finance the North Vietnamese. If you ever wondered how a little country the size of the state of Mississippi could fight the greatest military force the world has ever known for 10 years and then the great military force would lose the war as we did in Vietnam, you need, of course, to get a little pamphlet called The Communist Capitalist Alliance. And then, of course, you need to get my 4-tape set on Vietnam, and then, of course, it's a trilogy. There's one called The Boys We Left Behind, and then One Man Returned, that you can go get the Vietnam special. We never tried to win, ladies and gentlemen. That's the tragedy. So please pray for America. Pray for a revival, because if we don't have a revival and this country doesn't turn back to God, we're going to lose it. And then please pray for Radio Liberty. for our provision and protection and so on tomorrow at the same time. May the Lord be with you.